Well, morning, everyone. When I was studying on this, when Anita first said something here a couple weeks ago, I started working on this lesson. And I noticed the more I studied on this, the more I realized this is like a three-part lesson. So I told my kids, I said, we'll just talk for an hour and a half. It'll be great. No. So this is a three-part lesson, then to hopefully get into 30 minutes. There's a lot of stuff in here as we go through this that I'll try to stay out of the weeds, but where there's a lot of depth and there's a lot of learning for us today. But I think I really got like some high points that I want us to take that I think is for us today. Things has been on my heart, so I'm sure God didn't lay them there just for no reason. So let's pray before we get started this morning. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your wonderful word that you have provided so faithfully to us. We thank you for that love that would send your son, and a love that would go and do your will, and that would die on the cross and bear our sins so that you might have fellowship, that you might have a people. Lord, what wonderful love that we would have. Oh, we just thank you for that. And we thank you for that love and mercy that is shown forth to us in your word, and then that word is made real in our lives. We just praise you for your faithfulness. Father, we just pray that as the word goes forth, that whatever each and every heart needs, Lord, that all of us will have and take from this what you would have for each individual. Help me say the things that you once spoken this morning, Father God. We just love you, and we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, our lesson this morning, our title is Go Forth. And as we go through this, you'll see a godly perspective versus a world's perspective on things. All right. And so we're going to start today. We're going to go to Numbers. And I'm going to do something just a little bit different from a few times that I've spoke before, be it in a Sunday school class or up here a time or two. I'm going to do a lot of reading. So we're going to read quite a bit of scripture here to draw our points. A little more so than I normally do. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 13 this morning. And we're going to read most of chapter 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 13, and we're just going to start in verse 1. Now, at this point, we have the children of Israel, and God giving them instruction to go into Canaan. And he has brought them out of Egypt. We have spent the previous years and going through and God spelling out what he wanted from them and some instructions and some things that he had to have this relationship with him as a people that he had redeemed and brought out. Now here we are at the gates of the land that was promised to Abraham. And so let's start reading in verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All of those men were heads of the children of Israel. And if we kept reading, we go down there, each tribe sent a person. Right? So we have 12 peoples, 12 spies heading into the land. Let's skip down to verse 17 here. Actually, let's not. Let's just read verse 20. So we have God giving the instructions. They pick out the 12 tribes. Moses then takes those instructions given by God and comes down and gives them to the children of Israel. And I just want to read verse 20 here. And it says, and what that land is, this is a continuation of what to go look at. But he says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage. Okay? I want us to note that there. In the previous couple of verses, he talked about check out the land. And are they strong? Are they weak? Are the cities weak or fortified? Is this land good? What's going on here? But the part in verse 20 I want us to see that Moses tells him is be of good courage. All right? And bring forth of the fruit. Not is there fruit. Bring forth the fruit. There was fruit there. Bring it. And so in verse 21 here, we see what they found. And so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin into Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and they came unto Hebron, where Let's get my glasses here. Ammon, Shisha, Talamai, and the children of Anak were. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought pomegranates and figs. A cluster of grapes so big that it took two to carry it. We had grapevines when I was a kid. And there at no point was there ever more than a 5 gallon a bucket on two vines 40 foot long. You know, they just, and later in life, mom said, yeah, we planted the wrong grapes. But well, why didn't you plant something else? Because grapes are a pain and we weren't going to deal with that. Oh, okay. But a cluster that was so big, it took two of them to carry it. They were instructed to bring this forth to show the goodness of this land. God already knew what was there. And he'd bring that forward so everybody else knows what's there. Okay? And verse 24. And the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes, and the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. They spent 40 days walking around in through there seeing the goodness of this land. And what they found. And so now we keep reading here. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. This is a wonderful and rich land. Look what this is what this land can do. This is amazing. But that's not where they stayed. Let's look and kids keep reading here. Now, my Bible says nevertheless. In 2023, we would use the word but, you know. Anybody ever told you, everybody tells you a sentence, you know, and it has the word but in it, ignore everything that was in the first part and only listen to the second part. You know, I really like you, but, you know. Here it is. Here's the but. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwelled in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. They couldn't get past what they saw. They couldn't look at the goodness. All they could look is all they could look is what was negative, what was wrong there, what was perceived to be wrong. And Caleb stilled the people. You know, I'm sitting here as they're talking and they're telling it. Oh, I mean, because you can imagine everybody's eyes would have been excited about seeing the fruit of this land. And then they start talking about all the evil of this people. And they're listening to these reports. They're like, oh, there's all that up there we have to deal with? Well, here comes someone who had laid a hole, who wasn't worried about those things. And we see what Caleb says. Caleb stilled the people. Psh, shush. Everybody just listen here. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Did he let the noise bother him? Did he let what other people were saying? No. He went there with a godly eyes and godly perspective of things. This is our land. They just spent the last verse telling them how horrible and how big all these people, and they're everywhere. They're in the mountains, they're by the sea, they're down in the south. We can't get away from these people. What does Caleb say? Shh. We are much able. This is our land. But that's not the voice that won. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. We don't look at things with the right set of eyes in our lives. And we're no different. This is not here because it was just the children of Israel doing it. We are just like this. And when we look at things, we look at what we see. And we can't. And our first response, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? I can't overcome all that. I can't do all that. Well, that's the first step. You just don't understand that you're not supposed to. God is.
You're supposed to go forth. God will. God is able. Caleb got it. We are able.
In verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants in the sun. These aren't just people. These are big people. These aren't problems. They're big problems, Brad. You don't understand. They're big.
And there we saw the giants and the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. And so were in the sight, their sight.
They couldn't get past their own thoughts. They couldn't get past their own vision, their own reasoning. They were stuck here in that.
Well, that leads us into chapter 14. And we're going to keep reading here. And the congregation lifted up their voice, and they cried. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and of Aaron.
Boy, that sounds just like the world, doesn't it? Or how about a family member? Or how about a friend? But you try to think, God can do this, we can. And boy, as soon as you do that, Satan makes sure you've got somebody there. Just get that squashed. You know, let's be done with that. There's not going to be any victory here.
Listen to them. They just dwelled in their own pity. And they wept. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and of Aaron. And the whole congregation said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? Or would God had we had died in the wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?
What do we do? Do we not get that way? Boy, how am I supposed to go forward? I'd been better off just to stay back over there, and we don't want to go forward. We think, well, that problem was better. I shouldn't have done this. No,
that's not what God wanted them to do here. God wanted them to go forth. And they're not going forth. God wants them to keep going. And they want to go back.
Boy, how quick they forgot how horrible Egypt was. And how horrible they were treated. And how God, they were so oppressed that they were crying and God delivered them out of there because it was so awful. It's horrible. Now here they are. That's not even happening, and they want to go back to that.
And Moses, verse 4. And they said unto one another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes.
He got Moses and Aaron falling down on the ground, just praying, overwhelmed, I'm assuming. And you have Caleb and Joshua rending their clothes, trying to get people to understand. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe what he... No! We can do this!
And that's what they say here. They're listening to all of this. And they're
still trying to encourage them.
And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and he will give it to us.
They're telling them, God, it's not if God thinks it's okay, we can have it. He's telling them that God has already said, go in the land that I give you. I've already given you this land. If God has already given us this land, he's going to be the one that's going to help us take it and make it ours. They're trying to encourage them. They had laid a hold of this. They knew it. They were right. The majority of the people were wrong. The two were right. They had seen it. They had grabbed a hold of it. They knew. This is where we're going. But that's not what they were bombarded with.
Verse 9. Rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land.
Now, the other 10 said they were like giants. We're like grasshoppers. Look at their report. They're like bread for us. They're nothing. Their size, it's like our food. They're nothing. We know who's on our side. We know where we're going forth. Let's go.
Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us.
Fear them not. You're seeing what you're at. They are afraid. They don't have their defenses. They don't have what we have. Let's go.
And this is how the congregation took that. Verse part of 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones.
You know, I'm standing up here. I never say, if I ever say you, just remember Brad meant us, and I'm included. We should not ever be surprised that the world wants us gone when we try to lay a hold of something godly. And here it's a blessing and a promise, but we also have God's promise that if we follow his ways and do things the way he has set forth from us, that we will be blessed. You know, it's no different. When we lay a hold of those things, don't be surprised that the world wants you gone. Okay? Oh, you ask them, well, so you want me killed? Well, no, that sounds horrible. I don't really want you killed. I really just want you to think like us. So don't be surprised. I mean, ultimately, though, if you're gone and you're not thinking like that anymore and I don't have to deal with you, it's not the worst thing to happen. You know? No. So don't be surprised. And I'm not telling you this to discourage you that you're there. I am telling you this to encourage you. Because why? Who was with them? God was. What did Joseph and Caleb try to do? They tried to encourage them. God is with us. He has given us this land. It's not, well, if it's okay, God let us have. No, it's ours. He's given it to us. And if God's given it to us, then why won't he be with us as we go forward? He will.
And they wanted to kill him. And that's okay. So don't be discouraged, because what happens next? Let's keep reading in verse 10. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel.
When you get to that point, God will intervene. God's there. When you're just about at wit's end, God's there to take care of you. You know, the pillar of fire to keep you warm and light your way at night in the desert, or the cloud that shades the sun and is with you while you're in the desert. His presence is always there to take care of you. Follow that. It's there. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them? I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they, and make you a greater nation and mightier than they. And as I read this of what Moses comes through there and what he did, man, I just smiled the whole time I was reading it. And it was just like, wow. Moses kind of went before God and said, God, you can't do that. God, you shouldn't do that. God, you know, he kind of, it's almost like he almost challenged God back with his own promise. That's not exactly what, but if we see here, we read through what Moses says. It says, Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For you brought up this people out of their might and from among them. And they will tell it in the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that the Lord art among this people, and the Lord has seen the face, and that the cloud standeth over them, and that a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you will kill all this people as of one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people unto the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and great in mercy, forgiving sin and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the sin of this people, according unto your greatness of mercy, as thou hast forgiven the people from Egypt up until now. Forgive this people. Forgive them, Lord. You've set forth this promise. If, Lord, if you come in and destroy these people, then everybody in this land is going to say, oh, you brought them out, but you weren't able to give them into the land. Lord God, you're not going to be as strong as you are. It's not going to be a good testimony for you, Lord. You've brought this people out. Bring this people in.
And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as I truly live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all of those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it.
They were forgiven. Moses interceded for them on their behalf and their foolishness, and they were forgiven. Now, what happens here, though, is God says they are forgiven, but they're not allowed to see the land. In our lives today, you know, we make mistakes. We do things wrong. And we ask for forgiveness. Go to God first. And if we've wronged someone, we should go ask them for forgiveness. And we should forgive. But the forgiveness, even though it comes, doesn't mean that there's not earthly consequences. You know, if I speed through somewhere and I get a speeding ticket, generally I'm not speeding. It's probably a mistake. Because I'm just kind of conscious like that. But if I'm speeding and I'm caught, I still have to, if I get a ticket, I have to pay that ticket. You know, there's still a consequence, even though my intent wasn't that way. And there's not intent here, but you know, I still made a mistake. There's still a consequence that I have to pay. You know, and I'll pay that, and I'll be forgiven, and I haven't got a lot of tickets, and my insurance won't go up, and it'll be okay. But I still will have to pay for that sin. They have to pay because they didn't listen unto the voice of the Lord. You know. Think about this as parents. Is that how did we feel when our kids don't listen to us? It makes us angry, doesn't it? And it's not that necessarily we're inherently mad. It's that they don't understand. We tried to tell them or explain something to them, but yet they don't listen to us. And how do we feel? Oh, we get livid, you know. And sometimes it's just livid inside. That's fine. Figure it out on your own. How does your heavenly Father feel when we do that to Him, when we don't lay a hold of what He's promised us, what He has given us, what He has done for us, when we don't accept what He has promised and told us He's with us? Is there any good thing that He will withhold from us? No. It's the same thing, only it's to our Heavenly Father. You know, keep that in mind. Think about that. That's what they did. But God forgives them. But they still have to pay the price for not accepting that. And I'm not going to keep reading through here, but let's skip down to, I do want to skip down to verse 30 real quick. Same chapter, Numbers chapter 14, verse 30. Because God is talking here, and I want to get to this verse part of it. Doubtless you shall not come into this land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Two people got to go in. They got to get the promise. Why? Because they knew it was theirs. They accepted it was theirs. They did not let what they were looking at to keep them from knowing that God was with them and that they could go in there and take it. But you know what happened to them? They had to deal with the same thing that the rest of the children did. The only exception is they were going to get to go into the land. But they had to wait 40 years. 40 years. A day for every day, a year for every day that they wandered in the land and looked around
and had an opportunity to see the greatness of the land, they had to wander in the wilderness a year for every day.
You know, there's times in our lives that we get put into situations. And there's times that we have faith and that we know that God is able. And we're surrounded in a situation where people don't listen and people don't take us. It might be at a job, might be a friend, might be a family, regardless of what that situation might is. You guys can fill in your own blanks. And when we have that, it's like, I know if they would just lay hold of this, I know the victory is there. Joshua and Caleb, they had to wander around in the wilderness too. They had faith, but they didn't get to go into Israel yet. They get to, but they had to wait with everybody else. If you're in a situation like that, that's okay. It's not ultimately what God maybe had set out, but it's okay. Because God used that time in the wilderness to make Joshua a great leader. And they taught them things and showed them things. They just got to know God that much more. They got 40 years of experience and things. It was in a way that wasn't set out that God wanted them to learn, but it was still utilized. And it was still something that they benefited from. It's the same in our lives. We benefit and we learn. You know, God teaches us things and helps us. And when we see things happen to other people, we may have had nothing to do with all that, and we may be just going through that. Because you know what? That's kind of what we do as Christians. We rejoice when brothers and sisters rejoice, and we cry when they cry. You know, when we lose loved ones, it hurts us. Maybe we don't even know them. But our hurts hurt because you're hurting. If you're happy and rejoicing, I'm happy and rejoicing. I didn't completely understand what Charles was talking about the other day when he was talking about his financial situation going on. And I don't know, maybe that's lack of me. I didn't follow. Sometimes it's my hearing, so I don't hear all the parts. That's a problem. But I could look on his face and see that God had provided some victory for him and that it's whatever he was going through, it had worked out. Well, I guess I don't need to know the situation. My heart rejoiced because he was rejoicing, you know? That's what we do. That's family. So we're benefiting. We're growing. We're learning. And through those, so if we're stuck in those situations, we don't have to be discouraged. We don't point blame. We can know that one, the blessing is still ours. It's still coming. And God's going to do a work in me while I'm getting there. And it's okay. It'll be just fine. Where you start has no bearing on where you finish. I told my kids all the time. They hate hearing some of this stuff up here because they hear this all the time. But where you start does not determine where you finish. And I thank God for that because I started a long ways back. And there was a lot of stuff that needed to be done there. And still, unfortunately, needs to be done. But he is faithful to do that. Let's skip up. Let's skip over to Joshua. I got three verses I want to read in Joshua here. I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 8. Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to read down through 11. So now that generation has passed. Joshua sent spies in the land. And they're in Rahab's place. And she'd come up and she's talking to him just before they laid him down. They were hiding him in the roof there. And before they were laid down, she came up upon them. She came unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all that the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sidon and Og, which were utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Joshua and Caleb were right. God and all his works and his miracles that he was doing was not just delivering and redeeming his people. He was also doing a work in the people that were in his way of the land of his chosen people. It was already being done. And when Joshua and Caleb said, "We are strong and we can go take this," their hearts faint. "We are much able, we can go take this land." They were right. God had already done the work.
Now, because they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, you got 40 years to forget, and they're going to be stronger in. So God's going to have to train them how to be mighty warriors to go in there and take these things, because it's not going to be near as easy as it was before. You have people that are on the,
you could say, their hearts would faint. They knew what God had done. Funny how they understood what God had done and was scared. The children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, it's sometimes, if you stop and think about it, God puts people in our lives that sometimes you'd be surprised what the world looks and sees in your life and other Christians and how you handle things or how things are handled or the victories or stuff that goes on.
They may never say a word, but they see it. Don't think that what's going on with you isn't noticed by other people. God works that way. It doesn't just affect us.
Man. So where does that leave us? What was missing here from the children of Israel? Well, kind of an oversimplified
answer is faith. You know? They had spent their whole life just wanting things that they had been dealing with physically to be delivered. And they never laid hold of the Redeemer, the one that had brought them out, who protected them while they were in Egypt and going through those plagues, the one that told them, "Get your stuff ready, have your stuff packed, and you'd be ready to leave in an instant, because they are going to let you go, and they're going to load you up with gifts and jewels and presents, and you're going to carry that stuff up and out of here." They were forewarned, "Be ready on the Passover night. Be ready, because this is coming." God told them that. Did they lay a hold of that? No. They get to the Red Sea. No. "I'm hungry. We're not going to eat. I'm thirsty. We're not going to drink. We're tired of this." Time and time again, they only worried about what they were looking at and dealing with in the physical world. See, we get things messed up in our head, in our thinking, right? We tend to be Missouri folk. We kind of tend to believe what we see. We're not believing it unless we're seeing it. And you know what? That's not God's way. Because what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know? How do we get that? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You know, hearing it here, but reading it, studying it. God had pulled them out. God had been this Redeemer and laid out these wonderful promises for them to lay a hold of. And they spent so much time complaining and worrying about what they were dealing with worldly that they weren't even understanding that it was the very God and the things they were going through that was delivering them from these things. He was trying to build a relationship with the people that he loved and had set apart and had promised. Had promised Abraham, "I'm going to make you a great nation." Abraham shared that with his child. God reaffirmed that promise with Isaac. Isaac shared that with his child. God reaffirmed that with Jacob. He reaffirmed that to his children. God reaffirms that. It just kept going and going. Joseph laid a hold of it so much, he said, "You're going to carry my bones out of here." That's laying hold of the promise. That's faith, the evidence of things hoped for, but not seen. They didn't get to see it, but they believed it. They laid a hold of those things. But the children of Israel, God kept redeeming them and showing them his wonderful love and trying to develop this relationship with them. And they just kept rejecting him and pushing him back. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that we're so bogged down with the things that we see and the things that we look at and what goes on that we keep pushing God away. We're not laying a hold of those things to us. God, you're with us. You're going to get me through this. Oh, God, I don't like going through this. How are you going to do it this time? You know, and I'm not really good at doing that. You know, sometimes I'm encouraged by some things that I have gone through in my life. And I'm like, oh, I've seen this. I know how this works. I'll share this with my children or somebody I know. But yet, even though I know maybe something and I share it with them, they haven't learned it yet. And so they have to go through those things and they have to grow and they have to learn. And then I come to my next situation. And, you know, most of the time I'm like, oh, Lord, why is this happening? There's been a time or two that I've actually said, you know what? I would not have asked this to happen, but somehow, for some reason, God's going to work this out for good. I don't know what it is, but we'll just go with it. And there has been a time or two that I've actually done that. And I've actually got to see, go back, oh, look at that. That worked out good. You know, I would have never thought that that bad thing needed to happen, and I needed to do that for this good thing to happen, or for nothing else bad to happen, that one thing kept a lot of other things from happening. I would have had no idea. None. But that's what God does. You know, we don't see everything. I think I shared with you guys, at least some of you, I had a plantar harness came unhooked, and I was all irritated about that. And I jumped out of the tractor mad, just wanted to plant. Ran down there, and I come walking around the track, and I look there because I'm looking at the connector where it was, why this thing would never stay connected together. I fought it for 5 years. It was irritating. And there it was, undone. I'm like, why is this not? And I look down. Oh, the hitch pin on my planter was only holding on to about a half an inch. It had worked all its way out. It was just barely connected. You think that thing came apart because it was just a continual problem? No. I am 100% sure that God spared me from having my planter come apart when I had to cross the river in about 30 seconds. Because then that would have been wires and hoses pulled all apart, and then trying to get that thing hooked back up together down there at the bottom of that river would not have been fun. It wouldn't have been fun at all. It was a very humbling moment. You know, oh, thanks, Lord. Sorry. You know, literally, those are my words. Oh, thanks, Lord. I didn't see that. I would have never seen that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wanted to be planted. This is okay. We can fix this. So, and then back to doing what we were supposed to be doing. You know, I don't know what those things are in your lives or that, but lay a hold of those things. You know, go forward. God's not taking you into a land that it looks horrible with what you can see. But he has blessings and things for you. If you're here, he's got something for you. And he's taking you forward. He wants that. The thing that he wanted with his children, he was showing them all those things. He was showing them how great he was, how wonderful he was, how much he loved them, was what he was doing for them. He was trying to build and foster a relationship with his people, a relationship of love and service and worship. He showed him himself and revealed his what he wanted to them. And they couldn't get past their own selves, to lay a hold of what the great and wonderful God and creator of heaven and earth was doing for them. We don't want to be like that. You know, the key point of this for us today is that we don't want to be like that. We want what our Lord and Savior has laid out there for us. We want to lay a hold of those things. Don't hang on to the things of this world. Don't hang on to what this world has. It's okay to have stuff. I'm not telling you to let everything go and sell it and get rid of it. But what I'm saying is we sometimes hold on to more of the bad things of this world than we do the good things. You know, and they're good if God's allowed them in our life, then they are good, and they do come from God. We know that's where they come from. Lay a hold of what God has for us. Be encouraged. Be strong in Him, not yourselves. You know, but of what who you serve, and what you have.